Now, I must admit that interdisciplinarity takes its toll. So we have heard a lot of different concepts today and so on and so on. So I will try to make links to what we have heard today, and let's see how that works. Now, first slide should serve to give some context. So what we are talking here about is our weak signals in the context of an EU project which is called TELMAP and is concerned with mapping out the future of technology-enhanced learning, hence TEL. Now, the relationship to information in that case would be weak signal, because as I will try to demonstrate today or to illustrate a little bit, is that a weak signal would be a certain type of information which includes a claim to its semantic value. Like the emphasis would be then on weak. What do we mean by weak? And this is where the concept of dynamics comes in. So because it's in no way a straightforward matter to say this is a weak signal and this is not. So, first of all, why would we be concerned with road mapping? So what's the purpose of road mapping? And then this would lead us on to the next question. Okay, are we looking for one road map? As you would say, you know, I mean, we have heard it a lot of times, the map is not the territory. But usually you would assume that there is only one territory and then you have shades of detail, but essentially the maps should resemble each other. So what we found then is, okay, in the physical world where you have a physical counterpart, that might be true. But if we talk about technology applications such as in learning, then we deal with highly divergent conceptions of how the future Intel would look like. Now, this led us to two next steps, so to speak. A, we were looking for a variety of sources that would help us to create a diversity of maps. So we were looking at weak signals, at trends, at interviews with Delphi's, at semantic analysis, and scenario planning. So we are still at an early stage, but essentially these are the streams of information that should inform the building of the map. And the second instrument, so to speak, that would help us with road mapping is disagreement management, which is essentially something that needs to be attributed to Ambient Nav. And I made sure that I get the idea across correctly. So essentially, disagreement management doesn't mean that we want to get rid of disagreement. You know, we are not saying disagreement is the enemy. What disagreement management is about is all about understanding the different roadmaps we have concerning one subject, so that we would not end up in a standoff, like the Mexican standoff, this is my future, this is your future, let's find out which future prevails. It's more about understanding what are the implications if you see your future this way and I see my future that way, and can we come to an agreement, how important is it to come to an agreement, and so on. What are the assumptions that lead you to come to a conclusion which is different from mine? So this is the disagreement management part. Now, what's a weak signal then? So maybe if you want to get at the core of the problem, we might want to dive deeper a little bit. So first of all, weak signal in some circles is quite a fashionable term. It's also a fuzzy term. It's in no ways clearly described with mathematical formulae. And even so, you have a curve, you know, like this can be giving the wrong impression. But I guess the curve is quite nice to understand a few relationships between dimensions. So weak signals are buried in noise. So this is probably a known concept. Now, at some stage early on in time, we cannot really distinguish between whether a bit of information is or a signal not yet information, a signal is actually a weak signal or still noise. Now, but it already could lead to some change, which we would only know with hindsight. That at some stage in time, something happens that picks up a particular weak signal, kind of pushes it forward, makes us aware of it, and then it suddenly becomes a strong signal. It might even evolve into a trend. And then just looking at it, how it evolved, we can then say, I knew it all along. The necessary information was there. We can extrapolate. We can say, okay, this was, or in theory, this would have, we should have been able to kind of envision that future. But somehow we didn't. So the interesting part then is in that really big set of information of, you know, all the possible weak signals we could monitor and track and God knows what. How do we distinguish between the signals which are worth monitoring because, well, you know, it's a question of economy. We cannot focus our attention on everything. And the weak signals we are safe to ignore. Or maybe this is the wrong question. That's always a third possibility. Given all the other kind of descriptors that are given in the weak signal literature, like they tend to surprise and they do not really show a clear relationship to other signals. Now, we have two approaches to the fact that quite often we ignore weak signals that have been there, that have indicated a problem on the horizon, and or that we have focused on some tendencies which then turned out to be a fade or not relevant at all. So the first idea, and we have seen that today or just in the previous presentation, which was about visualizations. So there is a human tendency to complete forms, to recognize patterns, and all well described in Gestalt theory. Now, when we look at visualizations, that's actually a benefit because we can deal with incompleteness of information. But when it comes to weak signals, actually, we do not want to complete missing information because then we make up information and the weak signal becomes a strong signal just by our own way of dealing with the information, right? If you construct a pattern where there is none, then we probably can't draw the right conclusion. And here I'm just testing the waters because we heard quite a bit of quantum physics, and I have no relationship at all with quantum physics, but essentially I just wanted to draw or to use that analogy of to present the difficulty of dealing with the concept of a weak signal. Because we could say that any information is noise and weak signal at the same time, and that only the observer who randomly might pick a certain information by the treatment of the information determines whether this bit of information will be a weak signal or continues to be noise. So, and this was just simply the analogy I have seen to Schrödinger's cat. And if you're familiar with, because it is quoted and referenced in many contexts, so this is exactly what I say, what happens there. You have situations which are not mutually exclusive. It depends on the observer and how he treats, how he interacts with the system that determines the outcome. So it's the interference of the observer at this stage. Now, what did we do, or what we are starting to do, is to bring it into an empirical context. And one of the first decisions we made, we said, okay, what are the different sources of information? And we said we have recorded sources and we have human sources. That was one of the first distinctions. And talking about recorded sources, what could be accessed most easily were publications and social media. So here we see publications, and what we did was we were just selecting out of the abstracts keywords according to their frequency. So it's not really data mining, it's just corpus exploitation, to say that way. And then we have on the x-axis, we have the number of keywords. And what you see is not the frequency, the normalized frequency, it's more like the change from 2006 to 2009. This was the baseline. And then what has changed in 2010. So very simple thing. And you can see two cases, for instance, dramatically improved has the appearance of serious games, which is a big trend lately in Tell. The concept in itself, by the way, is not that new. So serious games and the idea of using games for Tell, okay, I have 3 minutes left, is quite old. But since the technology is changing, it's getting picked up. Now, the important point here is that this might be less of a weak signal to us because it is a publishing context, but it might be a weak signal to an adopter who is not that familiar with the literature in Tell. So whenever we look at surprisingness or novelty or indicators of change, we need to say, well, novel or interesting or surprising to whom? Without that relationship between the information and the interpreter, there's no way we can say that. Okay, and then just to give a bit of a counterpart, the adopter context, or sorry for the misspelling, so we did some context interviews where we were not actually asking for the things they were experts in, like their expertise in programming, gaming, pedagogical design, etc. We said, what is your vision, and what are the barriers or the enablers in your environment which have nothing to do with you? You are just a victim sometimes, and can you explain us how does this affect your development? And then we were taking weak signals out of that, because a weak signal in one person's context might well be a strong signal in a different domain, somebody actually researching those relationships. And I just take one example. Many adopters complained about the lack of policy. So they had great ideas and they couldn't implement it because in the end it clashed with the way assessment was regulated at their universities or their educational institutions. Okay, so this was just one of the things where I think it's for me personally at least, it's really great to be in this context because I can already see a few weak signals coming out of other fields. The problems you have, what you see, like how you transport information, how other people receive that information. And this is just one reference to the interdisciplinary character of this workshop. And my last slide, the conclusion. I might jump to the third point then. So what we really think we can't avoid is multi-method. So, you know, whatever your camp is, where you come from, we should speak your language when we talk about the weak signals. Multidisciplinary, as I said, certain issues might come from a context that is not necessarily your core concern, but still it affects you. And it should be multi-sourced, and this has more to do with what's the scope? Where are we looking for those weak signals? You know, I already mentioned the social media and the experts. What about general public associations, et cetera, et cetera? So, in conclusion, I guess this is nothing new. This came up throughout all the different presentations. Information, or in this case, weak signals, remain determined by context parameters. Or maybe determined is the wrong word, but essentially, we cannot look at them in an isolated way. Whenever I make the claim that this is not only information, but this is a weak signal, then I also need to deliver all the other parameters that would support that claim, which are where does the information come from, what's the scope, what lens are we using to describe that information, and eventually, what's the target user. Okay, thank you.